The sermon passage reading comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The word of the Lord says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law."
Please join me once again in a brief moment of prayer. Gracious God and merciful Father, Lord, we pray that as we continue to walk through these two verses that are so rich with meaning, lessons regarding not just the Christian life, but about you, about your Son, recognizing that all of these traits, attributes, are found in their fullness in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, primarily we pray that you would enable us to see Christ in these two verses, and as we talk about patience, we also pray, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit you would sanctify us, and that you would enable us to possess and display the patience of God, that you might be glorified in our lives and in this church. And Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So as we continue to look closely at the various parts of the fruit of the Spirit, which, by the way, several members have pointed that out to me, that I just want to remind you of, not that I wasn't aware of it, but I know that some people will think of this as the fruits of the Spirit. I've actually heard people say that. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is one fruit with various parts, sort of like the endocarps of an orange. You know, you open it up and you can break it off into these segments, but it's all one fruit. So just remember that when you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we talk about the various parts and aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, we're looking at patience this morning, something most of us struggle with, I think, if not all of us, at least to some degree. I mean, I know that we've all come across those individuals that just seem to naturally have more patience than other people. I mean, they just seem so easygoing, you know. It's just, you know, not a big deal. Woke up this morning, somebody stole my car. Oh, well, I guess I'll buy a new one. You know, you wonder, how can you be so calm in these kinds of situations? But those kind of individuals are far and few between, at least in my experience. Most, I think, individuals can struggle with patience. We can struggle with being patient with people, right? If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. God gives us children for our sanctification, because there's no one that can try your patience more like your children at times, right? They can cause you to virtually lose your Christianity. You love them to death, but you're thinking, it is good for you we don't live in the Old Testament, because I could get a pile of rocks and solve this problem. We struggle with our kids. We can struggle with our spouse. We can just infuriate us with some of the things that they do or don't do, right? We've been married for 30 years, and he still can't put the lid down. Why is that so hard? Makes you think of that country song by Alan Jackson, right? I even asked God to try to help me. He looked down from heaven, said to tell you, please, just be patient. I'm a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. So we can get frustrated with that and lose our patience with people. Friends, family, coworkers. But we can also lose our patience with God. Have you ever thought about that? We can become impatient with God's plan for our life, with his will for our life, with the timing in which he is moving our life toward some goal. Sometimes we become frustrated because we don't even know what that goal is. God, where are you taking me? None of this makes sense. And we can relate to so many of those psalmists where he cries out to God, have you forsaken me? But patience is something that every Christian should possess and demonstrate. And we know that, right? That shouldn't be news to you if you're a believer. For two reasons. Well, the obvious is that it is the evidence of conversion, right? It's right here in our passage. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Being patient with people, being patient with God, is an evidence of conversion. It doesn't mean that we never lose our patience, right? As Christians, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven. We can all struggle with all of these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit as we go through them. But there should definitely be a change from pre-conversion to post-conversion. I know there was a tremendous change with myself that was obvious to a lot of people. I grew up in an unbelieving family in a very difficult part of the United States. Grew up in East Los Angeles and in a family that the only thing they knew how to do to solve problems was to go outside and fight. And so I had a huge temper when I was younger and in school and high school. Got in a lot of trouble. And immediately, one of the things that was changed in me was I became a more patient individual. Still struggle with it and work on it and pray about it, but there is a significant difference between my pre-conversion self and my post-conversion self. So the two reasons we should seek it and desire it and pray for it is, one, it's the evidence of conversion. But number two, Ephesians 5:1, I mentioned this last week, commands us to be imitators of God. As Christians, we are to strive to be imitators of God. And beloved, God is incredibly patient. He is incredibly patient. The Bible talks about that all over the place. One of the most well-known is from Exodus chapter 34. This comes right on the heels of chapter 33 where they make the golden calf and Moses loses his temper, right? He struggles with being patient as well, and there are times when he loses it on the people of Israel. This is one of those. Breaks the Ten Commandment tablets, right? Angry, shatters them. Then he grinds up the calf, pours the ashes into the water, and makes everybody drink it. That story always baffles me. I just think he must have been a bad man to make everybody drink the water. But they do. Then he complains to God, why have you given these people to me? I didn't give birth to them. And then he asks God for a request. I want to see your glory. I want to see your face. And God essentially says to him, I'll show you my backside. Because no one, no human, no mere human can see my face and live. Because of your sins, because of your wickedness, if I allowed you to see my full unmitigated glory, you would be incinerated. So he says, you can see my backside as I pass you. And then when he passes him, God says this in chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. These two verses are interesting because they juxtapose two ideas, two attributes of God right next to each other. Verse 6 talks about the amazing patience of God. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious and slow to anger. He is slow to anger. And yet verse 7 talks about the justice of God. God is patient, but he's not a pushover. He is a God of justice. He is a God who demands justice. He is a God who says, if you violate my law, someone must pay for that sin. He's a just God, but he is also a very, very patient God. And he gives people chance after chance after chance after chance after chance to repent and turn to him. It can sometimes be difficult to think of God as being slow to anger in light of the flood, right? Wow, is that a God who's slow to anger? Sodom and Gomorrah, the Babylonian captivity, the horrific fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But we have to keep in mind that from Adam to the flood was approximately 2,000 years. 2,000 years God put up with the wickedness and the rebelliousness of people. From the Exodus to the Babylonian captivity was approximately 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, God put up with his people, whom he had given the law to, going out and engaging in Baal worship, worshiping at Asherah poles, offering sacrifices on the high places to pagan gods. And he was patient, and he was patient, and he was patient. And after 1,000 years, he said, enough is enough. And then the fall of Jerusalem in 586. And then from Christ until now has been approximately 2,000 years. There will come a day when Christ will say, enough is enough, and he will return in all of his glory, in all of his might. But God is incredibly patient. Just think how often you sin against God on a daily basis. How many times a day do you think you commit sins against God? And yet God does not turn you into a greasy spot. Think of how often you blow it, and God doesn't give up on you. How often do you come to God at night in your bedtime prayers asking for forgiveness for the same sin that you asked for forgiveness the night before, and the night before, and the night before, and God never gets to a point where he says, you know what, I'm done. Enough's enough. If you can't figure this out by now, you're on your own. God always forgives. He is incredibly patient. So whenever someone comes to me seeking to vent, and they're frustrated about maybe their spouse, or their children, or their boss, or their coworker, or people at church, or whatever, and they're frustrated, and they essentially, inevitably ask the question, you know, how much grace do I extend? How much patience should I extend toward this individual? My answer is always, well, how patient is God with you? There's your answer. How patient is God with you? But what does it mean to be patient? I mean, what is patience? Let's define our terms, right? The Greek word from Galatians 5:22 is the word makrothumia. And it's not the only word. It's actually one of four words that is variously translated in our English Bibles as patience. Sometimes it comes up as perseverance or endurance or steadfastness or the King James well-known word, long-suffering. And all of these words carry basically the same meaning, but I think that the most accurate English word to translate the Greek words that carry the idea of patience, I think the most accurate English word is the word long-suffering. I wish the ESV had kept that word. Instead, they use patience primarily. So what does it mean to be patient? Well, let me give you a working definition that I came up with. So this is original, which means take it with a pound of salt. So here's how I would define patience. Patience is the ability to suffer long. The ability to endure difficult people or difficult circumstances for extended periods of time without losing your calm and without losing your joy and peace. And is the evidence of the Holy Spirit and is rooted in a deep understanding and appreciation of the patience of God displayed toward us. It's ultimately where patience comes from. When we have a deep understanding and appreciation of the patience that God displays toward us, inevitably the result is that we tend to be more patient with other people. We all know what patience is in the end and what it looks like. But the question that most of us struggle with, and so that's really what the majority of my message is going to be on, not really teaching about patience and what it is, because most of us know what it is. The question that most of us struggle with is, how do we have patience, right? Most of you are probably thinking, okay, you don't need to convince me that I should be more patient and that I struggle with it. What I need to know is, what do I do about it? Be patient. I'm getting there. Four things I'm going to offer to you. Number one, start with prayer. That may sound elementary, it may sound like I'm simply stating the obvious, but honestly, how often do you specifically pray for patience for yourself? So often we have this tendency when we do our morning devotions to pray for everybody else, right? Or maybe things that we're struggling with. Lord, help me with finding a new job, or help me with, I don't know, all of the legal problems that I'm dealing with right now, or the things I'm dealing with at work, or help me with my marriage, or something like that. But how often do we say, God, help me to possess and display more patience? How often do we cry out to God and say, make me into a patient person that possesses and displays the patience of God? I think the problem is, because I've heard many people say, and you may have heard this before, you never want to pray for patience, because God will bring you through some difficult times to teach you how to be patient. That may sound quaint and wise, but I really think it's a terrible thing to say. And here's why. Because if you love Christ, if you desire to be like Christ in every aspect of your life, then you should be willing and desirous for God to bring you through whatever is necessary to chip away the sin in your life and to make you just like Him. You should be willing to say, God, whatever you have to do, I don't care. I want to be like Jesus. I want to live like Him. I want to talk like Him. I want to treat other people like Him. I want the world to see Christ in my life and in my voice and in my mannerisms. In light of what Christ has done for me, God, do whatever you have to do to make me like Jesus. Or I've heard Christians say, you know, I know I ought to be more patient, and it's something that I struggle with, but you know, that's just the way I am. It's just It's just who I am, right? Just as you are, as the old hymn says. But as believers who possess the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, choosing to be patient is something we can do. You realize that? We can choose to be patient. Because the Holy Spirit has freed us from the bondage of our sin. We are no longer slaves to our depravity. The devil has no control over us. R.C. Sproul was right when he would often say that when we sin, it is because at that moment our desire to please ourselves is greater than our desire to please God. That's what sin is. That's what all sin is. When we are impatient with someone, when we lose it with them, it's because our desire to please ourselves at that moment is greater than our desire to please God. We think to ourselves, you know what? It's just going to feel good to give you a tongue lashing, to give you a piece of my mind. I'll ask for forgiveness later. This is why Paul commands Christians in Colossians chapter 3, for example. Listen to what Paul says. Listen to the kind of language he uses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. He says to believers, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he goes through a whole list of sins. Put to death, he says. He commands us to do that because he knows as believers, we have the ability to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll go on to say in verse 12, after saying put to death all of these sinful character flaws, verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Patience. Paul says, put this on. You do this because you can do this if you are a believer. When you are impatient with other people, it's not because that's just the way you are. It's because you are choosing to not exercise the patience that is given to every believer through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The second key to be more patient is contentment. Pray for contentment in your life. Because a lack of contentment is a symptom of being impatient with God's will for your life. It's a symptom of it. I mean, how oftentimes have we cried out to God, you know, God, I know personally we experience this. When are you going to give us children? When, God, are you going to grant us children of our own? When will you bring me a spouse? When am I going to reach that career goal that I always dreamed about, that I believe you have called me to? When is my husband going to get off his duff and start acting like a leader? When is my wife going to start acting like a godly woman like every other husband has except for me? Often we are impatient with God's plan for our life. We are impatient with the timing and the pace with which He is moving. We're not content. We are discontent with God's will for our life at that moment. We are discontent with the pace with which He is moving to do whatever it is God's going to do. We think of promises like Jeremiah 29:11, right? Many of you can quote that promise. I know the desire I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future, right? We read promises like that and we think to ourselves, really? Plans to prosper me and not to harm me. Plans for a hope and a future. When, God? When is this going to become a reality? Listen to what Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. Paul says this, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment." There is great gain, there's great benefit in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we must be content. Paul says, you got food on your table, clothes on your back, quit complaining. That's what he's saying. We brought nothing into this world, so anything that you have in this world is more than what we deserve. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, we could include O woman of God. As for you, flee these things, and listen, he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Pursue patience. Which comes on the heels of him saying, pray for contentment. Pray that you will be content with trusting God's will for your life. Whatever difficulty you are going through in life. We need to pray and learn to be content with God's plan for our life. Because when we are impatient with God, that tends to spill over onto other people. When we are impatient with God, we will tend to be impatient with people around us. The third key to possessing and displaying godly patience is self-denial. Self-denial. One reason we tend to be less patient with others is because we are too focused on ourselves. We're too focused on ourselves. We are self-centered individuals. It's all about us. It's all about us. And the connection is simply this, is that when you are too focused on yourself, when you are self-centered, it means that you tend to have an overinflated view of yourself, right? Most humans struggle with that. We think it's all about us. We have an overinflated view of ourselves. Thus, when others make mistakes, we tend to become impatient with them because we think to ourselves, I would never do something as stupid as that. That was so dumb, I would never do anything that dumb. And we become impatient with them. When people say things to us that we do not like, or they treat us in ways that we do not like, we become impatient with them because of our overinflated ego. How dare you speak to me that way? How dare you treat me that way? Do you have any idea who I am? I am a legend in my own mind. And you should know that. And you should treat me accordingly. Thus, a key to being more patient, you're not going to like this, is to pray for humility. The key to being more patient is having more humility. Coming to a full understanding that as a believer, listen, it's not about you. The Christian life is not about you. It is never about you. The Christian life is first and foremost about glorifying God. And secondly, it's about being a servant to other people. Acting as a slave toward those around you. If you think of slavery, does the slave have an overinflated view of himself? Does he become impatient with his master and think, don't you know who I am? Right? If he did, his master would remind him in a very painful way of who you are. You're a slave. We are bond servants of Christ, which means we are willing slaves of Christ. If you have placed faith in Christ, it means that at that moment you chose to become a slave of Christ, a servant of God. And as God's servant, God says you are to serve those around you. So we need to pray for humility. A fourth key to possessing and displaying biblical patience is pray that God will increase your faith in His promises and in His Word. In His promises and in His Word. Passages like Romans 8:28, right? For God works all things for the good of those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Or we think of places like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Scripture says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Or we can think of passages like 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Peter writes this, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Yet Peter says, you ought to rejoice in your suffering. Why? Verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We read passages like those and our mind says, yes, I believe it. Right? But our heart says, I'm not sure I do believe it. Because how long is this going to go on, God? How long must I suffer in my marriage? How long must I stay at this miserable job? How long must I go through this suffering? My mind wants to believe these promises, but my heart and my emotion says, are they real? Has God forgotten me? Is He really working all things for my good? But the patient person, the person who is patient with God, knows that God's word is true. And so they say to themselves, I just need to wait longer for the promises of God to become a reality. So we need a stronger faith in the Word of God, and in the promises of God, and that will enable us to be more patient individuals. All right, so what are the consequences of not praying for patience, of not possessing and displaying more patience? Let me give you four, and I'll go through them quickly. Number one, not possessing and displaying biblical patience can open a channel to a host of other sins, such as anger, right? People who struggle with patience tend to struggle with anger, which is a sin. It can open up a host of other sins, a channel to other sins, such as jealousy. People who struggle with being patient with the plan of God for their life can start to struggle with jealousy of other people's lives. Why does things seem to go well for them? And they covet what other people have. They can struggle with the sin of a lack of love, a lack of gentleness. People who aren't patient tend to not be gentle with other people, right? They're sharp, they're biting. Number two, lacking patience can discourage people from desiring Christ. from desiring Christ if we, who bear the name of Christ, are constantly snapping at people and wanting to lop off their heads with every small mistake that they make. Right? Your co-workers see that? What I'm about to say is actually an ouch for myself. Parents, your little kids see that at home? They see you being this patient, kind, loving person at church, but at home, you are impatient with them. You are dropping the hammer on them with every glass of spilled milk. The message it communicates to them is hypocrisy. If that's what Christianity looks like, no thanks, Mom and Dad. I don't want any part of it. Number three, a lack of patience can lead to feelings of being unfit and unuseful for service to God. If we do not possess, listen, if we do not possess long suffering as God brings us through difficult times in life, we can begin to think that God is punishing us. God doesn't love us. God has forsaken us. Therefore, I'm not useful for ministry at all. I can't serve in any capacity. I'm useless. God doesn't want me. The fourth consequence of lacking patience, biblical patience, that comes from the Holy Spirit, is that we can rob ourselves of our joy and peace. As we for however long this lasts, the patient person, the person who is content with God's will for his life, who does not think about himself, but only thinks about glorifying God and serving others, and the person who has a solid faith in God's promises will be a person that experiences the joy and the peace that God wants us to have. So the lack of patience goes hand in hand with the lack of peace and joy. In fact, you're going to discover all of these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit stand or fall together. You can rob yourself of your joy and peace that God wants you to have. So I would encourage you and myself that we ought to pray for patience and let God have his work within us, whatever that may be, whatever that may take, so that God would be glorified and honored in our lives. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we reflect upon your incredible patience that you have displayed toward us, Father, we pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to bring you great glory in our lives by displaying the patience of God, first off, toward you, toward your plan for our lives, but also that we would display the patience of God toward those around us, toward our children, our spouse, our co-workers, our neighbors, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, toward our church leadership. I know elders and deacons can be frustrating at times. Lord, I pray that you would enable us all to display great patience toward one another, that you might be glorified. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.